I haven't psychic developed it. I developed it myself.
What is the stock market going to do tomorrow?
I'll tell you one thing. I like to know who killed Kennedy. That's what I like to know. I think it's people.
Well,
I don't think we should whitewash it.
A lot of us would like to know that.
You think we should whitewash it? Forget about it?
I'm not whitewashing it.
What are you whitewashing? What are you afraid of? Yourself?
Hey, Bob, I tell you what. It sounds like you've developed or have a psychic ability that is precognitive, which is a little off what we were talking about tonight, although we didn't talk about that.
Good luck, you guys, anyway.
Okay.
Bravo. Bravo.
Okay. Good luck to you. All right. I'm Bill Jenkins with Bill Moore.
What will it be this week?
Flying saucers. We've been talking about the Roswell incident. We'll get into that in just a second. And we do have some lines open if you want to get in. In Los Angeles, 520-TALK. San Fernando Valley, 990-TALK. Out in Burbank, Glendale, and Pasadena, you're 244, just to give you a few. And on the line, we have Steve. Steve, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Bill. Bill?
Yes.
Oh, just wanted to say, first of all, I think you have a fantastic show that serves a real need, and I find it a meaningful thing to really look forward to. We're hearing you every week.
Thank you very much.
Right. But I wanted to speak to Bill Moore about an incident I experienced in relationship to a former, I believe it was an interview that may have been done with Bill on television one time, about a year or so ago. I'll give you a real quick story of how it relates to that, and I wanted to see if Bill could comment on it. Bill?
Mm-hmm. He's here.
I'm here.
Oh, I guess it was about 10 years ago. I first had an age regression done by Marsha Moore and several different people over that period of time. And I went back and had this experience in an age regression. And in it, I reported what appeared to be, they asked me what I was wearing on my hands, and I couldn't describe it, but it turned out that these hands appeared to be something like claws, like these long, three flexible fingers.
I tell you what, we just had some flexible fingers reach in here. I've got to do one thing. I want you to hold that thought. I don't mean to break it up, but I've got to. But I'll be right back with you right after, okay?
Okay.
It's open mind. Steve, I want to tell you something. We have a few little chills running up and down our back. Are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Because we're going to break away in just about a minute. But you said that you, in a regression, you had a feeling that you had claws on your hands, right?
That's right. I had been regressed three times, and when you think of going backwards, it's not as though you'll go back in time. For me, it seems like you go sideways. They're always into places that appear to be in the future or something like that.
You should see the picture that Bill produced out of the stack of documentation.
That's what I'm calling about, probably. That's what my call is about, and I want to see if there's a connection or relationship to it.
Well, we're looking at your hands.
In trying to describe these fingers or hands, this was 10 years ago, and it's one of the techniques they use. They ask you what you're wearing and so on, and I was trying to describe the hands, but I couldn't because they looked like three claws that were kind of long and flexible. But anyway.
Hear the music?
Yeah.
We want to get into this with you. I think it's going to be fascinating. Do you mind sitting by while we listen to the news?
Sure.
And we'll be right back to you, Steve. It's Open Mind, and my guest tonight is the author of The Roswell Incident, The Philadelphia Experiment, one of the leading UFO researchers in the country, Mr. Bill Moore. You stay with us. We have two more hours to go, and we'll try to stretch your mind on Open Mind.
Happy celebration, 25!
Years or so ago, I went through an age regression. So I've been through two or three of them, and every time I go through them, it doesn't seem like you go backwards as you think of in an age regression, but you seem to go into the future where you always wind up at, well, I've always wound up in spaces that seem like the future. In this particular one that I was relating to, one of the techniques they use is to ask you what you're wearing and so on like that, and it's found that I was wearing gold lame boots and silver pants, and then they get to your hands and want to know what I was wearing, and there was my hands. I said I didn't have any hands that were like claws, and they were like three long, flexible claws. And years ago, then along comes E.T., and it's sort of like that, but the E.T. fingers weren't quite like you saw them on that movie series, but this was something a little bit different. But anyway, that was quite some time ago. But when I was in this structure that I had been regressed into, it appeared like you were in this kind of like a fuzzy egg inside, and it had a broad, long window looking out, and it had a computer panel all lighting up and with lights going bip, 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 bip. But anyway, the hand was the important and the interesting thing about it. And years later, I guess it was about a year or so ago, I was watching television, and someone was doing an interview, and I believe it was with you, Bill, discussing your Roswell incident. And they panned in on you on the interview, and when they got close in behind you, it had nothing to do with what they were interviewing, but here hanging on the wall behind you on this television interview was an exact duplicate of this hand that I had seen in my regression. And I'd always wondered how to get in touch with you, and I was quite excited this evening when I heard you were going to be on here. And I often wanted to call and say, what connection does that hand that was hanging on the wall in your office, does it have any connection to the Roswell incident? And I often wondered what it was, because it was almost exactly what I had seen in my regression.
Is that the hand we're looking at here?
That photograph, I don't know whether it was on mic there or not, so I better say it again. We're sitting here looking at just that photograph, and it's the same one that was off the wall in my off the wall. You'll forgive the pun, in my office. When I moved, I took it down off the wall, and I haven't put it back up on the wall of the new place yet. But it is a drawing based on, and slightly distorted, unfortunately, but based on a photograph that I have a copy of, which was leaked some years back from a source who certainly had credentials within the government framework, but we have not been able to do anything beyond that with it. It just, it's a curiosity item, but there is no authentication as to just exactly whether it's the real thing or not.
Is there some question of whether that had anything to do with the Roswell incident?
Well, the curiosity is that in the Roswell incident, the aliens, the bodies of the aliens, were reported quite reliably to have four-fingered hands. That is, three fingers, which are somewhat claw-like, with a fourth one that overlaps the other three, so that there would be a grasping sort of a thing. If you can envision, with our color radio out there, we'll show you the picture of this. Take your own hand and take the three fingers, your index finger, the middle finger, and the ring finger, ignoring your little finger, and assume they are three fingers, and then a fourth finger, which is somewhat closer to them than your thumb is, but longer than your thumb, so that if you fold your three fingers over the palm of your hand, the fourth finger would then fold completely over the top of them.
I see.
And that is the report that we're getting of an alien hand, that it's a four-fingered hand.
Well, that's very interesting, because with this experience that I'd had in the regression had taken place 10 years ago before I even knew about the book in the Roswell incident.
Well, there was no such book in 10 years
that's
ago.
That's what I meant. I had never, so consequently, yeah. It was anything that it wasn't anything to have heard of before. But in this regression, it seems strange that every time I have a regression, the three times it's been done, I seem to wind up in these spaces that seem like their future. Or you go back so far to maybe if there is such a thing as Atlantis, maybe.
Well, you stop and think about it. You know, evolutionally, what's the word I want here? Speaking in the terms of evolution, for lack of a better, there really isn't a whole lot of use for your little finger. And it's possible in terms of an evolutionary concept, that would eventually devolve.
Pinkies would go out of style.
Yeah, it certainly would. One could not drink one's Demitasse in the style of the Epicurean manner, or whatever one wants to call it. But in any case, the photograph that came out and came through another researcher, was leaked to another researcher, was so reminiscent of the descriptions that I was getting of the alien hand that I saw fit to put it up on the wall. That's what you saw. The program that you recall was Two on the Town on another network.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was.
It was about a year or so ago, as I recall.
Yeah, it ran about a year ago. It was actually filmed about 2 years ago, but it had a rerun about a year back.
So there's no... So what you're saying then, as I understand it, is there's no real connection with that. It was a leaked photograph, but you really don't quite know what the connection was to the Roswell incident?
I wish I knew. I wish I could corroborate the whole thing through. But I'd be happy to send you a copy of the photograph. If you, again, we'll give an address out in a little bit, write to me and mention the conversation we've had here on the air, and I'll be glad to send you
a
slide of it.
I would really like to do that.
Okay, Steve, does that help you?
It certainly does.
All right, thank you very much for checking in with us this evening. For those who don't know what the Roswell incident is, by the way, Bill, I suppose we need to update them very quickly.
Yeah, we've been talking about it here, and all these people are sitting out there saying, what? What's that?
What is that? Philadelphia Experiment, Roswell incident.
The Roswell incident, title of a book that came out a few years back, is the story of an investigation into the crash and retrieval or recovery of some sort of a craft in New Mexico in July of 1947. There is no doubt that something crashed out there. No doubt at all. The evidence that has come to hand in the past 7 years since we began the investigation, nearly 8 years now, is highly compelling, highly suggestive that the craft was an alien spaceship. There are over 90 individuals now who have given information, over 30 of them firsthand. A number of those people of considerable rank and reputation. There was a piece done just Thursday night, as a matter of fact, on the television KABC, which ran as part of it the interviews with several of the eyewitnesses to this thing. And there just is no doubt that something came down. If you go out there into the remote part of New Mexico where it occurred and talk to the locals, many of those families have lived out there for several generations, they talk quite openly about spaceship, the crash of the spaceship. To them, that's what it was.
And you're not going to convince them otherwise.
No. I mean, these are people that are stiff, conservative, upstanding, upright people who just aren't prone to imagination. And yet, as far as they're concerned, that event occurred out there. They remember it. Many of them do. And it was the spaceship. That's what they call it.
By the way, we should point out that they were next door to White Sands Proving Ground. They were used to rockets and seeing those go on.
Absolutely, they certainly were, and the government subsequently said, oh, wait a minute, we made a terrible mistake. They officially released a press release, a press statement, over the signature of then-Lieutenant Walter Haut, who's still living, to the effect that they had, in fact, recovered the wreckage of a flying disc. No doubt about it.
It even appeared in the Times, the Los Angeles Times.
Yes, it did. And in many newspapers around the world. We have quotes from the London Times, the Hong Kong newspapers and whatnot. The Army Air Force, then Army Air Force, stated they had recovered the wreckage of a flying disc. The next day, when General Ramey got a hold of it, he was commander of the 8th Air Force, on orders from the Pentagon, they said, whoops, we made a terrible mistake. It was nothing but the wreckage of a weather balloon.
On orders from Harry Truman.
Well, on somebody's orders. And Truman certainly knew about it because we went through the White House telephone logs for the time in question, and the only telephone call on record for the entire summer of 1947 between General Vandenberg's office and the White House, and Truman, as a matter of fact, was on the date in question.
Isn't that amazing?
Which is highly suggestive that certainly that was the subject of the conversation. But in any case, the weather balloon explanation does not hold water. We get people like retired Brigadier General Thomas Jefferson DuBose, now in his 80s, who was at Fort Worth at the time, who was the adjutant to General Ramey. And DuBose says without hesitation that the whole weather balloon thing was a fabrication designed by Ramey to get the press off their backs.
So they had the press conference at Carswell Air Force Base, isn't it?
That's right, at Fort Worth. And Ramey himself went before the press, and they actually brought in a real weather device, shredded it, put it on the floor of his office, and invited the press in to examine it, said, look, this is the wreckage we've recovered. Which was just absolutely ridiculous because the real wreckage was on its way at that point in an aircraft to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Where it stayed for a while, then got moved around.
At least the pieces of it did. They had some more of it that was still in New Mexico, and I think it's still in New Mexico. I don't think it ever got out of there.
So now you know briefly what the Roswell...
That's the Roswell incident. Tremendous depth. In fact, it is the single UFO case, as far as I'm aware, that goes into as much depth as this one does. I mean, there just aren't other UFO cases in record that have that kind of depth to it of investigation.
Well, if you have questions about that, of course, we're speaking to the author of it, Bill Moore. And whatever your questions are, you're invited to get them into us tonight on Open Mind. We do have a few lines open. 639-TALK is your number if you're down in Long Beach, Downey, Compton, that area. If you're in the South Bay, 679. We'd like to hear from you tonight on Open Mind. Have you ever considered the possibility that Vadi has created a workshop based on his own personal experiences to teach people the experience-expanding states of awareness, including the out-of-body state? The Gateway Weekend Workshop is a 3-day workshop, and the next one will be given May 17th, 18th, and 19th. Robert Monroe has developed a patented process called HemiSync. It has been determined that certain audio pulse frequencies, when heard through stereo headphones, will create expanded states of awareness. This process is used in the Gateway Weekend Workshop. If you'd like more information, I suggest you give this number a call. Area code 213-393-9405. Monroe also offers a home study course of cassette tapes. To get more information on the Gateway Weekend Workshop or on the cassette tapes, call us number 213-393-9405. With the extraterrestrials, the UFO, the government cover-up, the Philadelphia experiment, if you want to get on to that. And Royce wanted to talk to us about those strange Martian pyramids. Hello,
yeah.
Royce.
Yeah, I have a friend at school, and he keeps telling me about these Martian canals, or what are they? Are they canals or pyramids?
Well, what most people have been talking about are a couple of NASA photographs that have been computer-enhanced by Don Molinar and Vincent DiPietro that clearly show what appears to be a face of a man looking straight up, which is an unusual natural formation. We see a lot of profiles of people's faces in nature, but looking at a face, looking at you like that would be, to the minds of many, if you were to look at the faces of Mount Rushmore, you'd say that was a natural formation. Right below that face is two pyramids. Oh, they are three-sided pyramids, so I guess it would still be pyramids. There are a lot of oddities about that. The angle of delineation between the pyramids and the face, and even the distance, is almost identical to the angle of the delineation between the two outside pyramids of Giza and the Sphinx. So that's what we were talking about there.
Yeah, do they think it's like was formed by a UFO or something like that?
Well, there are any number of ways to approach that situation. There certainly is what appears to be the outline of a human face that is staring back at you from the surface of Mars. There's no question about that.
Uh-huh.
There are certainly some kind of formations nearby which appear to be pyramidal in shape. And so one can interpret that along an entire spectrum from, on the one hand, the assumption that we are dealing with artifacts of an ancient Martian civilization, all the way to the other end of the spectrum, which would say that they're just coincidental natural formations, that they're not, there's no intelligence behind them at all, and any position you want to take in the middle of those two. There are some problems, and as far as I'm concerned, the issue is not yet resolved. I take no position on it at this point because I simply don't have enough data. The problem is that there are only two photographs of this particular formation that have been taken. Both of them, unfortunately, are at approximately the same time of day, and hence the shadow formation is somewhat similar.
But they are different.
They are different, yes. The other problem is that one can only learn so much from a photograph when you get to the limit of resolution. And that limit of resolution in the Martian photographs is not particularly favorable, unfortunately. Now, you can say, well, all right, you can run it through a computer, and the computer will enhance the photograph. But the computer will only do what you tell it to do. And that is sort of a connect-the-dots situation. You know, the old childhood exercise of connect the dots by number, and you do them all, and finally you end up with a rabbit or whatever.
We have to deal with a computer picture in the first place there, because
yeah,
those are electronic.
They're electronically transmitted, that's
that
true.
To us.
But, so you tell the computer, all right, connect the dots.
Yes.
Take the dots in the photograph and connect them, and let's see what you get. And the computer does that, based upon the limit of resolution of the photographs in question. You get an enhanced face and an enhanced couple of things which look like pyramids.
Now, they use the Starburst Pictel system in doing that one, which is a pretty reliable system. It's a very good system.
Well, that's true, but it still is, you know, you're at the very limit of positive resolution, and so the issue is not going to be resolved
Until we get some more pictures.
Until we get a better picture, until we have another Mars orbiter to take a picture or a landing or whatever.
But the enhancement of the photograph, it gets to be quite intriguing in that as they do enhance it, now whether they're enhancing it correctly or not is a matter of conjecture, that you can see even the pupils of the eyes.
Yes, that's true.
And tears going down the right side of the face.
The pyramids, now, on the other hand, if you... I can think of structures on Earth, natural structures on Earth, volcanic in origin, that from a distance resemble perfect pyramids.
Oh, you fly over Gold Mine, Nevada. There's a whole bunch.
Yeah, yeah. And I think your radio's up there. Turn your radio down because we're getting feedback here. In any case, the pictures are intriguing. They have been published in the newspaper a couple of months ago. And beyond that, I just don't know what to make of them. You pay your nickel and you make your decision on your own. Until we get some better pictures, there's just nothing else that can be said about them.
I had an interesting comment from Edwin Krupp, who heads the Griffith Observatory out here. He's seen the photographs, and he said, and he's one of the skeptics, by the way, in those photographs, is you got to remember the human mind also sees things it wants to see as it looks at those kind of pictures. And I remember the first time I showed that picture to my colleague here, Ira Festel, he was quite convinced that that was a crater. So there is more work to be done on finding those Martian coordinates again and getting better photographs, but they are extremely compelling. At the moment, it doesn't look like to me that it was a natural formation. But are we going to say that UFOs made it or an ancient society?
Yeah, that's exactly where you're at. Without more data, you can speculate endlessly, and anywhere you want to go in the spectrum that I pointed out is exactly the situation. You know, take your pick.
The level of coincidence of the angle of delineation between the pyramids and the distance being almost identical to that at Giza is a little bit bizarre.
Well, I don't know that I'd go so far as to say bizarre, but I certainly would say interesting.
All right. Does that help you, Royce? Did that help you, Royce?
Yeah, it did.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here with us.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Good question, and it's one of the real puzzlers of the day. We're 27 minutes past 10 on a Saturday night. It's Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me is Bill Moore.
This is...
With me, one of the leading UFO researchers in the country. Delighted to have him aboard. Bill, I know that you do get out and speak from time to time. If I wanted to come see your material and talk to you firsthand, are there some opportunities to do so?
There certainly are, but you're going to have to do a little traveling. We may be speaking in the area come early fall. But for those of you that feel like traveling up to the San Francisco area at the end of the month, I am speaking at the National UFO Conference on May the 25th. That's, I believe, a Saturday evening. At the John F. Kennedy High School Auditorium, and that is at 39999 Blaco Road in Fremont, California, which is sort of the East Bay area of San Francisco, and... that will be an all-day affair, I guess, capped off in the evening by myself. And Cal Korf is another speaker. He's been one of the very skeptical people on the Meyer incident, among other things. And that is the, I forget what, 20-something or other, at the National Conference that's being held held every year in a different place. So again, May 25th, Saturday, 7:30 p.m., John F. Kennedy High School in Fremont, California. Then I'm speaking at the MUFON National Symposium in St. Louis. On that's being held on the weekend of June 28th through the 30th this summer at the Chase Park Plaza Hotel in St. Louis, Missouri. And I can give you a phone number there. Anybody that wants to take a vacation and perhaps can get through St. Louis on that weekend, certainly you'll enjoy yourself there. Lots of speakers, all kinds of people. In fact, the list sounds like a who's who in ufology. Leonard Stringfield, George Fawcett, Bud Hopkins, who is into abductions, an extremely excellent researcher there, David Webb, John Schussler, Stan Friedman, Peter Gersten, Ted Phillips, etc., etc., etc. And again, that is in St. Louis, Missouri, June the 28th through the 30th, the MUFON Symposium. And if you want information on that, you can call Helen Henke at area code 314-831-0413. I'll give that again, Helen Henke, area code 314-831-0413. The advanced registration through the 21st of June is $25 for all the sessions. There are four sessions, and that's $25 for all four, not each, or $750 each. And after the 21st of June, it goes up to $28, which really isn't that much different.
And the Chase is a very lovely hotel.
Yes, it certainly is. Chase Park Plaza Hotel in St. Louis, Missouri. Then I am speaking in Toronto, Canada, on July the 30th at the Toronto Public Library.
That's about right.
Yes, we want to plug a little bit here. The teaser is that we're going to do a first here tonight and break a news story that a new document, top secret document, has come out of the government. First time that a top secret document has ever been released on the topic of UFOs, with one exception, and that exception is really a peripheral document. This is a real
top secret. We talked about that one before.
Yes.
Eileen is standing by with an old question for a lot of people who get into the UFO thing. They want to know about Hangar 18. Is that right, Eileen? You're talking about the movie?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that was a nice
it
movie.
It was very loosely.
It didn't have anything to do with Hangar 18.
Well, Hangar 18, I think, was inspired by the Roswell incident itself. It's strictly fiction.
Oh, right, I see. Also, I'd like to know, why was Project Wolf's book suddenly abandoned?
Suddenly? I don't think it was suddenly abandoned, but go ahead.
Well, I know it went on for 20 years, but it still seemed as if they reached a crescendo. They came to a conclusion that, well, perhaps we should just stop this project. There's no reason to continue on. Normally, when the public's interest heightens and the government's and the military's wanes, I get very suspect that perhaps something is known that isn't being leaked out.
Well, Blue Book was terminated in 1969. It was begun in 1951, so it lasted 18 years. There were two projects previous to Blue Book, Project Sign from December of 1947 through about December of 1948, and Project Grudge from 48 through about the end of 1950. And then Blue Book took over from there. Now, as to why Blue Book was abandoned, it was really nothing more than a front office operation. If somebody inquired about UFOs, they pointed to Blue Book and said, here, go talk to these people. And Blue Book collected cases and whatnot and so forth. But there's a very interesting memo that was written in 1969 in October by General Carol Bolander. In fact, we call it the Bolander Memo, which dealt with the recommendation to terminate Project Blue Book. And Bolander, in two places in the memo, makes the very revealing comment, and I'll read it because I'm sitting here looking at it. He says, moreover, reports of unidentified flying objects which could affect national security are made in accordance with, and it lists a couple of obscure regulations, and are not part of the Blue Book system. That should answer your question.
Yes, I think it does. One more, second part. Something crashed 1908, between 1905, 1908 in Russia.
The Tunguska Diva, as they call it, the Tunguskaya Diva.
Do you have any information as to whether anything was recovered from that, other than just finding some indication of radiation?
Well, I think there were some very unusual balls of glassy-like material that were picked out of the ground and out of some tree bark and so on.
Enormous destruction.
Tremendous destruction. Trees just all over the place. But then there was nothing in the area but trees anyway. There is a book on the subject called The Fire Came By. I think the author was Baxter. And that came out about 1975 or 76. You should be able to find it in the library. Used copies are available. I've seen them in several different places. If you would like a copy of that, I could recommend a used book service to you that carries those or can get them for you at a nominal price, $4, $5, $6 I guess they are now. But to try the library, the, I believe the author is Baxter, and the title of the book, in any case, is The Fire Came By, and an excellent study of the Tunguskaya Diva.
Okay, Eileen?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. This letter, how do we get that?
Yes, we began last fall a nonprofit corporation called the Fair Witness Project. And the goal of the project is to pick a limited number of cases of unusual events, be they UFOs or psychic phenomena, whatever, and to investigate those particular cases to as great a depth as possible, and then to publish the results in as objective a manner as possible and let the chips fall where they may. The monthly newsletter of the project is called Focus,